Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. So we started last time we were here. We started the new program of reading all the translations for the chapter before starting the class. So today's chapter is chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature. So let's begin with the translations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Again, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharata." It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kunti. And because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. Text number 8. O son of Bharat, know that the mode of darkness born of ignorance is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. O son of Bharat, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness, passion conditions one to fruitive action, and ignorance, covering one's knowledge, binds one to madness. Text 10. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance, O son of Bharat. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times, ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Guru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested. When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages. When one dies in the motive passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when one dies in the motive ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. Text 17. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of nature? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self, and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, and who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. And now the final two verses of this chapter are the most important. Text 26. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Before we go to the verses that we're going to study today, I would like to do a short, very short kirtan before we go to the verses. We will start today with verse number 3 of chapter 14. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itti Namane Bala. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Everybody. Saraswate Deve Gauravani Charine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gau Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Hare Murare. He Nath Narayana Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We are studying Chapter 14 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. We are starting with text number 3. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari hare nama hare nama hare namaiva kevalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatir anyata. I feel I'm going to cry. I feel so happy right now. Thank you all for coming. Thank you. Thank you and thank you. So, the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. We can learn from the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto how Krishna instructs us that the mode of ignorance should be thoroughly condemned. We should have nothing to do with the mode of ignorance. Anything in the mode of ignorance, we just throw away. The mode of passion, we should be indifferent. Don't praise it, don't get this, be indifferent. Mode of goodness, there you go. You should conduct your life in all aspects according to the mode of goodness. And then, of course, don't stay there. Because the mode we're going to learn in this chapter, the mode of goodness is also binding. And Arjuna asked the question in this chapter, how do I transcend? And the answer was given, devotional service. That devotional service has to be uninterrupted. It has to be constant devotional service. That is how you transcend, and that is the goal. We don't want to stay in these modes, even the mode of goodness. We can be there, but the goal should be to transcend, to go to the spiritual platform. Brahma Bhuyaya. To be on the same platform as God. And I always remember that statement by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami, because coming up now is Rath Yatra in LA. Tomorrow we'll have the Snana Yatra. And so Sanatan wanted to commit suicide by diving in front of the Jagannath cart and giving up his body. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, that's an act in the mode of ignorance. You'll not get Krishna by acting in the mode of ignorance. Lord Chaitanya said, if it was that easy to get Krishna, I would do that 100 times. But actions in the mode of ignorance, such as that, you become a ghost. You don't get Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, no. But then Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan, Sanatan, when a devotee surrenders at the time of initiation, Krishna accepts that person as good as himself. So just see how valuable is that initiation. Most of you have already done that. The boys, their day is coming. That day is coming. At the time of initiation, Krishna accepts you as good, and then we have to keep ourselves on that platform by strictly following the regulative principles, and then of course, most important, chanting the Maha Mantra, everybody. Meenakshi Vajrani, when I'm on my deathbed, would you chant loudly for me? Thank you. If I hear your loud chanting at the time of death, surely I will go back to Godhead. There is no doubt about it. How do they know? Huh? Well, Meenakshi... But some people say like that. Yes. What did Prabhupada used to say? When the elephant caravan passes, the dogs will bark. So, as far as I'm concerned, when you're in my programs, you better chant loud. Okay? And when I do the Gita Yajna, whose voice am I listening for? That's right. Meenakshi is right there at every verse. She's right there with me, and I can hear loud, and she doesn't even need a microphone. So you go on with your... And actually, it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya liked the loud chanting of Swarup Damodar. He liked the loud chanting. And I should know, I'm also a loud chanter. And your Guru Maharaj also was a loud chanter. Did you know that story? When he was a new devotee in Montreal, the devotees complained, you chant too loud. So he used to go to a hill or a mountain. He used to chant. So, and look where he is now. Right? So, loud chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Alright, shall we begin text number 3? Are we ready to proceed? Chapter 14, text number 3. Please repeat. Mama Yonir Mahad Brahma Tasmid Garbham Dadam Yaham Sambhava Sarva Bhutanang Tato Bhavati Bharata. And now we do the word for words responsively. Mama, my. Yoni, source of birth. Mahat, the total material existence.
Brahma, supreme. Tasmin, in that.
Garbham, pregnancy.
Dadhami,
create.
Aham,
I.
Sambhava,
the possibility.
Sarvabhutanam,
of all living entities.
Tata,
thereafter.
Bhavati,
becomes.
Bharata,
O son of Bharat.
So one thing Prabhupada would sometimes preach,
that notice the word aham, I.
Krishna is a person.
Even in the four nutshell verses of Bhagavatam that is found in 2nd Canto, chapter 9, the four original verses of Bhagavatam, that first verse, aham, appears so many times. And Prabhupada makes that point that one should not think that the Absolute Truth is impersonal. He's using the word aham, I, person. Impersonal cannot say aham. Has to be a person. So the Absolute Truth in the ultimate sense, ultimate understanding, is a person. And then when I asked Hari Shari Prabhu, and I asked Shyamasundar Das, both of these persons were close associates of Prabhupada. So on two different occasions, I asked them, Prabhu, you spend so much time with Prabhupada, one-on-one, hours and hours. What was the most significant thing you learned from our spiritual master? And both of them said, now these are two different occasions, separated by a couple of years. They both said, the most significant thing they learned from Prabhupada, God is a person. And you learn that from Prabhupada. He stresses this. He emphasizes this. Prabhupada, the way he writes his books, you just read his books as they are, you will learn everything you need to know about Vedanta. All right, let's go to the translation. I'm feeling very inspired tonight, because inspiration depends on the audience. According to the audience, the speaker is inspired. And if the speaker sees that the audience is not attentive, not enthusiastic, not interested, then he's not inspired. But when I see who I see here today, I'm very inspired. Where's my bell? Very inspired. Jai. All right, please repeat. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth. And it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings. O son of Bharat. So, this ties in with that verse from chapter 9. Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagad vipari vartade. That Krishna says the material energy is working under my direction. And then we learn from Bhagavatam, we learn from the Brahma Samhita, that those souls who were not fit to go back to Godhead, they enter the body of Mahavishnu. And they go to sleep for some time. Then when Mahavishnu exhales, all those living entities, right, are injected. Now, what happens is, Mahavishnu glances at the material energy, Durga. His glance takes the form of Shambhu. Shambhu engages in sexual union with Durga, and that is how those souls who were in Mahavishnu re-entered the material world and take their births, picking up where they left off. Just like when you go to sleep at night, all your activities cease. But you get up in the morning, you continue where you left off. Right? So the same way, the living entities have all these desires, they have all these karmas. So, when the time comes for the next creation, they're ready to go. They pick up where they left off and the whole thing goes into motion. Let's look at Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki. So Prabhupada says, this is an explanation of the world. Everything that takes place is due to the combination of Kshetra and Kshetragya. Where did we see those two words? That's right, the previous chapter. That was the opening concept. Kshetra, Kshetragya. The body and the spirit soul. This combination of material nature and the living entity is made possible by the Supreme God Himself, which means we are not independent. We are not the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is independent. We're not. We are part of the Absolute. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, in the first verse, Prabhupada spends some time explaining absolute and relative truth. We're truth, but relative truth. Our existence is dependent on the existence of Krishna. No Krishna? Just like, can you have the sun ray without the sun? But if you have sun, you have to have sun ray. So similarly, as soon as there is God, then there has to be Ego Bahusham. The Supreme One became many. So automatically, there are innumerable living entities. Good. The Mahat Tattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation and that total substance of the material cause in which there are three modes of nature is called Brahman. Now, this whole idea, Mahat Tattva, Brahman, if you would like to learn more about it, then you should read Third Canto Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev, and other places in Third Canto. You can learn more. I myself, it's not something that I've spent a lot of time studying. But if you're interested, you can read more about this Mahatattva and Pradhan in Third Canto. In which there are three modes of nature is sometimes called Brahman. The Supreme Personality impregnates that total substance and thus innumerable universes become possible. This total material substance, the Mahatattva, is described as Brahman in the Vedic literature. Tasmat etad Brahman nama rupam annang cha jayate. The Supreme Person impregnates that Brahman with the seeds of the living entities. The 24 elements, beginning from earth, water, fire, and air, are all material energy, and they constitute what is called Mahad Brahman, or the Great Brahman, the material nature. As explained in the 7th chapter, beyond this, there is another superior nature, the living entity. So, I was speaking about this the last time I was at Radharaman Temple, when we had the program a few weeks ago. These two verses in the 7th chapter, verse 4 and 5, they go together. Krishna, first of all, outlines the 8 separated material energies. Earth, water, fire, air, sky or ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These are the 8 separated material energies. Then, the very next verse, Krishna says, but beyond this is a superior. So, at that time, I made the point. If Krishna is saying there's another superior, then these 8 material have to be inferior. Otherwise, why would he say, besides this, there is a superior? So, we should, and also, another way to look at it, it's inferior, and because it's inferior, Krishna himself doesn't want anything to do with the material nature. He leaves Shiva and Durga to deal with the material. He himself, no. Even if he comes to this material world, he still remains above. If it's a Vishnu Tattva avatar, if it's Vishnu Tattva, he never becomes touched by the material energy. You will find in the Bhagavatam that Lord Shiva, he becomes slightly involved with the material energy. He has to. He is the consort of Durga. So he does have some connection. And we, of course, have lots of connection. We shouldn't think that Lord Shiva is in the same kind of maya that we are in. His maya is a little different. His involvement with the material nature is unique and special. Our involvement with material nature, big time. Big. And Krishna, none. None whatsoever. No touch of the material energy. And Lord Chaitanya warns us, if you think that Vishnu, Tattva, God, comes to this material world and somehow or other becomes touched by the modes of nature, then that person is an atheist. That means they don't understand this word, God. God, by definition, has to be transcendental, untouched, pure, like that. Let's continue. The scorpion lays its eggs in piles of rice, and sometimes it is said that the scorpion is born out of rice. But the rice is not the cause of the scorpion. Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities. Yes, that's what the materialistic scientists want you to believe. That you are a product of material nature. That's what they teach. Be careful when you go to college. They're going to teach that. They're going to hammer that. They're going to try and brainwash you that you are a product of material nature. Therefore, don't forget what you read tonight in Bhagavad Gita. I remember there was this nice young boy from Radharaman Temple years ago. When he was your age, he'd come to all the programs. His mother bought him for himself a whole set of Bhagavatams. I used to see him all the time then. So many years I didn't see him. Then one time there was a funeral. I can't remember whose funeral it was. And this boy now, he was in college. So at the end of the funeral, he came up to me. He said, Prabhu, you remember? He said, yes, yes, I remember. He said, I am completely contaminated. He said, I've gone to college, and one Indian professor told him that according to the Vedas, you can eat beef. And he said, I'm hearing so much nonsense. Now I have so many doubts in my mind. He said, I have completely lost all my upbringing. So be careful. Be very careful. That's why you got to stay with me. Okay? In these colors. Right, Meenakshi? They have to stay with me. Otherwise, you wind up like this. I mean, he was totally, you could see it on the, he confessed. He said, I'm totally fallen. I have so many doubts now. Continue. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities. The seed is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they only seem to come out as products of material nature. Thus, every living entity, according to his past activities, has a different body created by this material nature, so that the entity can enjoy or suffer according to his past deeds. The Lord is the cause of all the manifestations of living entities in this material world. That's why in the next chapter, big verses coming up. Mamai Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Krishna says, you're my part and parcel, not the material energy's part and parcel. Krishna is claiming you as his child. Everyone is Krishna's child. Otherwise, he uses the word Angsha, part and parcel. So we should always remember, I am part and parcel of God. Not America, not India, not material nature. I am part and parcel of God. I am child of God. That's what I am. Alright, let's go to text number 4. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyonir ahang bija pradapita sarva yonishu. In all species of life, Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Murtaya, forms, Sambhavanti, they appear, Ya, which, Tasam, of all of them, Brahma, the Supreme, Mahatyoni, source of birth, in the material substance. Aham, I, Bija Prada, the seed giving, Pitta, father. So this verse is just like that verse I just referred to that's coming up in chapter 15. It's very similar. Let's look at the translation. Please repeat. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Here it is again. Krishna is saying, I am your father. I am your father. Right? Even in the Christian Bible, what was I brought up? That there are three persons in one God. That's how I was taught as a Catholic. So the first is God the Father. That's the first thing I learned. Then there was God the Son, and then they used to say Holy Ghost. Then they changed it to Holy Spirit. I don't know why they changed it, but they changed it. So they have this conception, God the Father. And here in Bhagavad Gita, you get a clear understanding, because what does that mean, he's my father? I don't know. But when you read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, oh, now I understand what they taught me when I was 6 or 7 years. Now it makes, okay, now I understand. These books give you much clearer, broader, fuller understanding. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original father of all living entities. The living entities are combinations of material nature and the spiritual nature. That's why a few years ago I started interjecting this concept, hybrid. Right? Because hybrid car is electric and gas. Right? So we are also hybrid, material and spiritual, right now. Such living entities are seen not only on this planet, but on every planet, even on the highest, where Lord Brahma is situated. Everywhere there are living entities. Within the earth, there are living entities, even with water and within fire. I was reading in the Mahabharata that Arjuna went into this river or lake, and then he was pulled by Ilupi, and she took him to this place in the river. So there was a whole kingdom, Nagas, that lived in the water. And then you'll read in the Mahabharata that there are different regions as you go north. And then Arjuna went to the heavenly planets where he met his father Indra. And he met all these different kinds of living entities. Bhagavatam also is talking about the different planetary systems. And this is another thing Prabhupada used to preach, that there's living entities everywhere, all over God's creation, above, below. All right, continue. All these appearances are due to the mother, material nature, and Krishna's seed-giving process. The purport is that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms at the time of creation according to their past deeds. So, Now you can do a little introspection that you have all grown up in a certain kind of life. All right? The way you were all grown up is different than the way I was grown up and the way most people here in America are grown up. Why? Because you in your past life did so many pious activities or devotional activities, therefore you were placed in particular families. All right? Not that you get puffed up about it, but the fact of the matter is you were born in special families, and right from birth you were taught so many advanced concepts of Aryan, super, yes? Yes? Yes, I will explain. You recall I talked about all the living entities who were not fit to go to Godhead. They stay where? In the body of Mahavishnu. When it's time for another creation, Mahavishnu glances at Durga, the material nature. That glance takes the form of Shambhu. Shambhu has sexual union with Durga, and in that discharge, all those living entities take their birth in material nature. Alright, so just like a man impregnates his wife, so Lord Shiva here is also to be considered like the father, because many Hindu people accept Lord, and that's correct, because as I just explained, he's the one that engages in this act on behalf of Mahavishnu. So you could also say Lord Shiva is the father. There's no harm. Right? From this angle of vision, he's actually injecting into the womb of material nature. Okay? Does it make sense now? Well, she's represented as Durga, but this is the energy. Everything around us is the energy. She's personified, but this is all her energy. When you go to the spiritual world, everything is spiritual energy. Last time we were here, you were bringing up a point, and I mentioned to you that in the spiritual world, you have spiritual bodies, not material. You can't have a material body in the spiritual world. It's impossible. But you have a spiritual body made of spiritual energy. This body is made of material energy. But when you go back home, back to Godhead, the body will be spiritual energy. Eternity, knowledge, bliss. Is this body eternal? Is this body full of bliss? I don't think so. And is this body full of knowledge? No. No. Right? What's the prasad prayer that we say? Oh Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance. Yeah, it's a lump of ignorance. All right, let's go to text number 5. Lord Brahma, explain. Let's see, explain. He is called the great grandfather. And Krishna is called in Bhagavad Gita the father of the grandfather. Yes. Yes, so that's another, yes, you could say Lord Brahma is, right, because he's the first and everybody comes after him. Yes, good. I'll give you a ding for that. Very good point. Good today, right, Krishna Kumar? So many nice devotees have come. When Krishna Kumar, years ago, there'd only be a few people. right? But then you stuck to it, you stuck to it. Then before we knew it, there's no room, too many people, right? And now Krishna is sending all first class devotees. Because that's what Krishna does. When Krishna sees that you are at a nice level, then Krishna, okay, now I'm going to send you a higher clientele. So very good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Text number 5. Sattvam Rajastama Iti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Nibadnanti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyayam. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Raja, the mode of passion. Tama, the mode of ignorance. Iti, thus. Guna, the qualities. Prakriti, material nature. Sambhava, produced of. Nibadnanti, due condition. Mahabaho, O mighty armed one. Dehe, in this body. Dehinam, the living entity. Avyayam, eternal. Please repeat. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. So this verse is very, very instructive. Just like if you come in contact with a very potent disease, chances are you're going to get that disease. Especially if your immune system is not strong. You come in contact, and some diseases doesn't matter. If you come in contact with somebody who's very, very infectious, it's very sick, you can also become very, very sick. Just like earlier this year, I got pneumonia. And then the doctor said, yeah, and because of you, your wife got pneumonia. Because it's that contaminating. Or when Tukaram came back from India, his kids had, what was that? Chicken pox. And then what happened? So many kids adults got the chicken pox. And they told everybody, don't come to the temple. Because you're going to, you know, it was so, that's the point that you come in contact with these powerful diseases, you're going to get disease. So the same way, whatever modes of nature you associate with, it's going to affect you. Like here is Saturday night. So lots of mudhas, what are they going to do tonight? Drink, naked dancing, party, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling. They're going to get so contaminated just by that, contacting those modes of nature. You, on the other hand, you're in a different category. Not only are you not getting contaminated, you're getting purified, antiseptic and prophylactic. By coming to this program, you are not only becoming immune from any kind of contamination, but you're also getting cured, more purified, more spiritually healthy. When Krishna Prema remembers, when I first started doing in 94, I used to tell the first wave of my students that you work all week at a job, you're bound to get contaminated by working that. You can't avoid it. You have to get some kind of contamination. You're with all these kinds of people, dealing with all this kinds of material energy. I'm sorry, don't get mad, but you're going to get contaminated. So I used to say, so therefore you have to come to Namahat to cleanse. And then you have to go to the temple on Sunday again to get cleansed, to get refreshed. And then on Monday go get contaminated again. But that's what it means to be a householder, right? You're not living in the temple. If you live in the temple and you do devotional service nonstop, okay, it's different. But householder means you're going to work a regular job. That's just the nature of the game, okay? And now Krishna Prema has decided he's had enough of this game, right? You've had enough, you told me. Now you're going to retire and do full-time devotional service. Stay pure and clean always. May Krishna fulfill your desire. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. So always remember, choose your association wisely. Because that association is going to determine what modes of nature you are going to come in contact with. And I warn you, especially the children, there are certain things that are very contaminating, such as television. Very contaminating. And, yes, internet. Yes. You have to be very careful what you associate, because this is the age of Kali. Everything is super contaminating. Everything. Sometimes things look very innocent and before you know, oh my God. So you have to be very, very careful what you associate with. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of examples here in America. I'm not talking about India. I'm talking about just regular American kids. They got in a car with their friends. They thought it was just going to be some fun. Then somebody starts drinking. Next thing you know, the parents get a call. Your child has died in a car accident. Because of who they associate. They themselves probably didn't do anything, but they were in that association. And the next thing you know, no more Bobby, no more Janie. Finish. So you have to be very, very careful what you associate with. Because this is Kali Yuga, the age of Duryodhan. We were reading today. I read it again today. Duryodhan represents the age of Kali. So just think, age of Kali, just think about Duryodhan, meditate on Duryodhan. Duryodhan meditation. Is that what you want to become like? No. Better to become like who? Arjuna. Right. Or Yudhisthira. Like that. All right. Let's go to the purport. We're on text number 5. The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with this material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned by the material world, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material. I love that phrase, spell. Just like that song, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya Pisa Chira Kole. Lord Chaitanya is calling to everyone, wake up! How long will you sleep with your head on the lap of a witch known as Maya? Calls her a witch. Just see the strong language of Lord Chaitanya. He calls Maya a witch. So what do witches do? They put you in the spell. And when you're in that spell, like right now, there's this big thing. It's been going on for many years. There's this fascination with zombies. Am I right? You kids know all about it. I know you kids. So, if you become under the influence of Maya, you become a zombie. Yes. You're under a spell. Okay? Good that you don't know. Means you're not a zombie. Means you're not in Maya. Because living entities have different kinds of bodies, in terms of different aspects of nature, they are induced to act according to that nature. This is the cause of the varieties of happiness and distress. Earlier, in the earlier purport, in previous chapters, Prabhupada was saying that according to the kind of body you have, you act accordingly. When you have the body of a dog, that's it. You act like a dog. You bark and you bite and you itch. Right? When you have the body of a mosquito, what do? You poke somebody and suck out the blood. And when you have a human body, depending on that kind of human body, you act accordingly. And when you're born with a nice Indian family, nice upbringing, you act like an Aryan. Aryan means one who has refined culture, gentleman, right? One who understands that there are progressive values of life, right? Duryodhan was not an Aryan. That's not Duryodhan. Aryan means Pandavas, cultured, advanced, high-minded, good persons. Let's do one more. Text number 6. Tatra satvang nimalatvat prakashakam manamayam sukasangena badnati jnana sangena chanaga. Alright, please repeat. Tatra, there. Satvam, the mode of goodness. Nirmalatvat, being purest in the material world. Alright, so that's important. That's important. Keep remember that translation. Purest in the material world. That's the, in other words, it's referenced. There's a condition. It's not just purest. Purest in the material world. Yeah, shh. You're spoiling the plot. Prakashakam, illuminating. Anamayam, without any sinful reaction. Sukha, with happiness. Sangena, by association. Badnati, conditions. Jnana, with knowledge. Sangena, by association. Cha, also. Anaga, O sinless one. So that's referring to who? Arjuna, exactly. And notice, Sangena, by association. And what does even Lord Chaitanya say? And Prabhupada points this out. 90% of your advancement is due to association. That's amazing. And Lord Chaitanya says, if you can associate with a pure devotee for 1/11th of a second, your whole life can change. There are so many examples. Somebody saw Prabhupada for just a short, immediately something happened. When we do Rath Yatra in 2 weeks, so many people are going to see Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra on the cart. They're going to get some purification, even though they may be very, very degraded, half naked, eating something. You know how Venice Beach is. But because they're coming in contact with Jagannath for a few seconds, purification. If they get prasad, that's why prasad distribution is so important. Prabhupada used to say we should have Govinda's restaurants everywhere, and I always say yes. There's this place in Washington called K Street. K Street is where all the lobbyists are. The lobbyists are the ones that make all of our laws. Because you know, our politicians are just prostitutes. They're just told what they're paid to do. So the real crux of the matter of what's going on in America is that K Street. So let there be Govinda's restaurants. And stop talking. Just eat. Gulab jamun, samosas, pakoras. Yes. There should be some in the White House, in the Congress, there should be full gulab jamuns, everything. Full Krishna. Let's let them eat Krishna prasad. Instead, what do they do when they have their meetings? Wine, meat, like that. One time, President Clinton, he did some function and it was all vegetarian. Yeah, pretty good. But it wasn't Krishna. All right, enough of that. Yes, but something's better than nothing. Yeah, one step at a time for these guys. Did he? Yes, Meenakshi Vrajarani Devi Dasi. Yes. 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 That's correct. That's because the cooks, they have Bengali cooks. I've been there. I know the cooks. That prasad is, and they have this thing, Sunday breakfast. People come for pancakes and all. They have this very broad cuisine. And the Karmis love it. They drive miles in their fancy cars just to have that Sunday breakfast at the temple. Hmm? What? Ah, okay. Very good. All right, did we do... Oh, we did the word for word. Okay. So keep in mind Sangena by association. Please repeat. O sinless one. The mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. So there's one word here, everything sounds good, but there's one word that should be a red flag. What's the word? In this translation, everything looks good, but there's one word that to me would be a red flag. What's the word I'm looking at? Which is? No, red flag means not good. What? What is in this translation? Look at the translation, not the synonyms. Conditioned. That's the red flag. Condition means bound. Condition means prisoner. You want to be a prisoner? Ah. So even the mode of goodness is not good enough. We want to transcend. That's why we come to Krishna Consciousness Movement. Because we want to transcend. We want to go back home. Back to Godhead. Not again take birth. We want to be unconditioned. Right now we're a conditioned soul. We want to become an unconditioned soul. Like the spiritual master, like all the great acharyas and saintly persons. They are unconditioned. Like Vyasadeva. His unconditioned soul. Narada, another one. The associates of Lord Chaitanya, unconditioned souls. That's who we glorify and praise and pray to. All right, purport. The living entities conditioned by material nature are of various types. One is happy, another is very active, another is helpless. All these types of psychological manifestations are causes of the entity's condition, status in nature. How they are differently conditioned is explained in this section of Bhagavad Gita. The mode of goodness is first considered. The effect of developing the mode of goodness in the material world is that one becomes wiser than those otherwise conditioned. A man in the mode of goodness is not so much affected by material miseries, and he has a sense of advancement in material knowledge. The representative type is the Brahmana, who is supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness, just like Dronacharya. Dronacharya was a Brahmin, and when he was teaching the Pandavas and the Kauravas, he showed how expert he was. Even though he was a Brahmin, he knew this field of knowledge, how to shoot bows and weapons and all this. So his knowledge was greatly superior, and the Pandavas and the Kauravas wanted to learn from him. And who was Drona's number one disciple? Arjuna. And he really endeavored for that. In other words, it wasn't that he just laid around, yeah, can I be your number one disciple? No. He served Drona very, very, very carefully and was practicing extra all the different things. So he was really diligent. He was doing his sadhana. That's how he became the number one. Not that he just got blessed. No, he had to earn it. All right. The representative type is the Brahmana, who's supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness. This sense of happiness is due to understanding that in the mode of goodness, one is more or less free from sinful reactions. Actually, in the Vedic literature, it is said that the mode of goodness means greater knowledge and a greater sense of happiness. The difficulty here is that when a living entity is situated in the mode of goodness, he becomes conditioned to feel that he is advanced in knowledge and is better than others. What's that called? Pride, yes. That's the downfall. In this way, he becomes conditioned. The best examples are the scientist and the philosopher. Each is very proud of his knowledge, and because they generally improve their living conditions, they feel a sort of material happiness. This sense of advanced happiness in conditioned life makes them bound by the mode of goodness of material nature. As such, they are attracted toward working in the mode of goodness, and as long as they have an attraction for working in that way, they have to take some type of body in the modes of nature. Thus, there is no likelihood of liberation or of being transferred to the spiritual world. Repeatedly, one may become a philosopher, a scientist, or a poet, and repeatedly become entangled in the same disadvantages of birth and death. But due to the illusion of the material energy, one thinks that that sort of life is pleasant. That, my friends, is Maya. Maya has two potencies. One is she's able to pull you down, again, like we found that word, under the spell. So Maya has that power of putting you under a spell. You're in her clutches. All right? Then the next thing Maya does, as you are pulled down into the material world, you think, I love it. That's the other part of Maya. You actually think, yeah, this is great. Let me have more Maya. And that's what Maya does. And so, Prabhupada says in one place, you start off like a Lord Brahma, and before you know it, you're a worm in stool. Because that's what happens. There's a downward. And it's all because of Maya. Lord Kapila says, this is Lord Kapila, that even the worm in the stool is very happy. The story of Indra, right? When Indra was cursed to become a hog, and Brahma came, said, okay, Indra, it's time to come back. Indra said, what are you talking about? I got my wife. I got my family. I got my nice stool. I'm happy. He didn't want to come back and be Indra. So just see. Don't become like that. Don't get pulled down into Maya. Chant Hare Krishna. Everybody.